Hey everyone, it's Camille, and today we are going to answer the proverbial question, what do I post on social media? Hey everyone, welcome to the Get a Hand Up podcast, where I'll be giving you a hand up today in social media and content marketing, come to think of it. There's a proverbial question of what do I post on social media? I work with a wide range of clients, from solopreneurs to global conglomerates, and it's just the proverbial question. First, let me say little stat moment here. Actually, first, before I get to that, here he goes. I have with me the brilliant, the statistician, the illustrious. Who are you today?
I'm Tom from MySpace.
Tom from MySpace. That's perfect for today's topic.
Wait. My applause. Okay.
Got that out of your system?
No.
All right. Well, first, a couple of things. 64% of consumers say that watching a video on social media influenced them to make a purchase. 55% of consumers consider Facebook as the most common place to learn about new brands and products. The reason I say those things is because moving forward, I'm going to assume that if you're listening to this podcast, you already understand how critical social media is, not just to your marketing, but to your business success overall. Okay. We all got that? Tom?
Yes. I'm delayed because I'm still on a DSL connection.
You're still on the Facebook, not Facebook.
Mm-hmm. But an interesting statistic for those that are wondering, you're probably asking yourself, how many people use one form or another of social media online? And the answer is half the world. 3.03 billion people have one form or another of a social media profile, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and MySpace, and other dating sites like eHarmony, you know, Match.com, even a profile, believe it or not, and this is an interesting thing, eBay, Amazon, and other e-commerce sites.
Really?
Including Etsy.
Like actual personal profiles?
Yes, a profile where they do reviews and so forth. So a total number that was collected as of, I believe, of March of 2019 was 3.03 billion people have one or multiple profiles on different platforms.
I'm glad you brought that up because a little off topic, but a lot of people question, can you get B2B leads, especially C-suite level
Not to go off the topic for business is business or B2B, what most people call it. The answer is yes. If you're a small business and you're looking for leads from other small businesses to, you know, like, let's say we have a friend at the cigar lounge that we attend that does wholesale of like tchotchkes and things like that for trade shows. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he's not going to try to attract a consumer level customer. He's going to go after other small businesses because he offers a product that another small business needs. And the answer is yes, you can. I have seen companies be able to get cold leads on social media from, you know, Google marketing to Facebook, even Instagram.
It's funny, and then people often think that LinkedIn is the only place to do that, whereas on Facebook, I've gotten clients pre-qualified leads in the C-suite level for as low as $250 a lead, complete lead.
LinkedIn is great for business networking, but as of late, and this is my personal opinion from Tom from MySpace, that has become the ugly person dating site. When you have a filter that you could put over your business profile pic, not only are you deceiving yourself, but you're deceiving others. Here's my Lady Gaga staring at the TV monitor about fashion Saturday Night Live moment.
Okay, Tom, I think you're drifting away a little bit. I want to answer the question of what do I post? Folks, there are four general types because this is sort of a verbal cheat sheet here. There are four general types of social media that every marketer needs to be aware of and use if it is appropriate for your brand. And if you follow this mix, you'll have a very robust social media presence. Don't forget to optimize everything. But first one is humor. Everyone loves to laugh. You know, if you've ever noticed that funny memes go viral the quickest and most easily, it's a no-brainer, whether it's about sports or cats or whatever's going on with the latest celebrity. Funny memes go viral very quickly. You do have to be careful in using humor if you are a certain type of organization, like a nonprofit or a humanitarian cause. That's not to say you can't use social media at all. Just do so very, very respectfully and make sure that you don't alienate your target audience. Yes, Tom?
A good point to bring up when you want to do humor on social media. Ask yourself this question. Can I tell this joke to my grandmother and would she get it?
Actually, I was thinking the same thing, but to a child.
Oh, yeah, a grandmother, a child. Can you say the same joke to your grandmother and to your child? And if the answer is yes, like whether it's a funny animal meme or meme, how most people call it, or just a joke, or even from pop culture, like the Thorbowski thing from Endgame. Yes, we're giving a spoiler away. If you are able to tell the same joke to your child as much as to your grandmother, then 9 out of 10 times it's okay to post. So that's a kind of a rule of thumb that I and Camille tell clients all the time, that if you're going to post on social media that you think something's funny, ask yourself, can I tell my grandmother and my child this?
And to add on to that, I think that it's very important to remember the perspective of your target audience. And if you need to be a little bit delicate in how you use humor, let's say, for example, you're a nonprofit organization who raises money for some type of leukemia that children suffer from, and you're wondering how to use humor. Make it from the perspective of the child. Make it something that one of the child patients would laugh at. Other than that, this is one of the areas where you tread lightly, unless you're just a regular brand, e-commerce, something like that. So the next category is inspirational. And similar to humor, it's extremely viral. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves that warm and fuzzy moment of the day, that moment of profound thinking, of a happy, loving quote or whatever it may be. You've all seen them. They go viral very quickly. And again, I would just say use discretion. If you are a very niche type of industry or vertical, you don't want to offend anyone, and you don't want to make light of any very serious issues. Yes, Tom?
Interesting statistic about how inspirational quotes are used, that the average good inspirational quote will be shared within the first hour 89 times.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is a good, interesting, inspirational quote, something that's uplifting, something that's strong and brave, it will be shared up to, if I remember correctly, the statistic, about over 14,000 times throughout a day and over 30,000 times over a week's course. So when you look at the statistic how Camille was mentioning about from her past podcast about the attention spans of people online, about 15 seconds or less, having an inspirational quote that comes directly from you, that's shared by others from your post, is reaching up to 30,000 people within a week.
They can be very powerful. And remember, when one piece of your content really breaks the algorithm and gets huge traction like that, it does lend more organic reach to your other organic content. So definitely use it. if you are using a quote from anything from The Art of War to Ralph Waldo Emerson, always give the author, the original author, credit. It's okay to brand it, put your company logo on it or something like that, but make sure you do give credit to the original author. So another category of content is useful and informational. Now, I don't think anyone listening has never viewed one of those videos that gives you 10 or 25 life hacks of useful things that you can do with banana peels or rubber bands, right? You know, it's really amazing. But this is also where you can work in a lot of your brand content and bring up the value propositions of why your product or service is useful and what solution it solves. Yes, Tom?
An interesting point about the useful informational. Let's say you are a company that deals with boxes, like you're a B2B, for an example, and your major goods that you sell are packaging. You could actually show like how Amazon users, this is the best example, like when they receive their packages in boxes, how the boxes can be recycled to animal orphanages, you know, for cats, because cats love boxes. You know, we buy the toys, it comes in that box. They don't play with the toy, they mm-hmm. play with the box. Or how to recycle it for, like, in case of people that are moving, or even just basic life hacks of like summer, winter transition of clothing and stuff. Why go out and buy more boxes when we could recycle? So that's one example. If you have a good or service that has multi uses, to put out memes and information on your page about how to recycle something that somebody already has. Another example, please excuse me, Camille, is Voss. Like those mm-hmm. those water bottles and stuff, how people are now using them as vases for like flowers.
Yes, yes. Or we have our friend at the lounge who cuts bottles into glasses.
Yes.
And at behind the bar at the lounge, it's fabulous that half of the glasses there almost are actually repurposed bottles.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's an interesting statistic. I mean, interesting topic in this portion here, because a useful hack will travel, and I just did the study on this just a few minutes ago, will travel up to 329,000 reviews. And out of that, 66%, two-thirds of people that see these hacks will actually use it somewhere in their day-to-day life.
I believe it. And I myself, you know how Facebook allows you to save things to various lists? I do have a list for such useful information, but let me work it into how you might use it for a brand. Let's say you're in real estate. This is the type of content where lead magnets come in. So you may post on social media either a blog or a white paper or something about how different things that you can do to get more money when selling your home. If it's a medical condition, it could be a list of foods that are helpful for inflammation or weight loss. Well, we've all seen weight loss tips and blogs and articles and things like that. So this is a very important area that is inevitable in your newsfeed, not just your newsfeed, but on your brand page, on your company page. It's critical. And if you work it right, if you are really giving away substantial value, you can actually upscale that to a lead magnet to generate leads and business. So that's critical. Now, getting back to the lighter side of things, there's escapism. And just like people like to feel warm and fuzzy and they like to laugh or they like to be uplifted, they also like to escape reality for a moment. And so this might be a video of a beautiful, exotic place, or it may be any type of feel-good picture. I can still remember that river in Colorado that I saw a picture of. But again, this is appropriate for almost all brands, tread lightly when using it for things like social causes or medical nonprofits, things like that, because you don't want to make light of a serious topic. So it's very important not only to use all of these different types of social media, but also to use them very wisely and know your brand and know your target audience in order to do the right mix of these four general categories. Now, of course, there are many more, but these are the broad strokes of the four major categories of content that you need to have in social media. And actually, that also reflects on your content management, because where do you promote your content on social media? Yes, Todd.
Okay, some interesting things I want to go over real quick, with the podcast. If you have a marketing department or you work with an outside marketer, it is probably best and wise to sit down with your marketing team and create a social media content calendar. Wacky Wednesdays, like you could have something humorous on your social media platforms for Wacky Wednesday.
Actually, I think I may make a downloadable
calendar. That's what I'm thinking too.
Calendar for people, because I downloaded one recently. It was a lead magnet, of course. And honestly, all it was a Microsoft Word template that was blank and just available for download. Come on, folks. That's just lazy.
So here's the funny thing. Like, you could do for people, like for clothing stores or for food, for people in the food industry, restaurants and so forth, you could actually do a challenge and say Throwback Thursday, post an old throwback photo of yourselves, and we will pick one random winner to get like a $10 gift card.
Exactly.
And that's what not only causes engagement, but it also causes for people to retweet, to share the post on Facebook, to resend it on Instagram. These are great ways to use these four tips to engage with your customer base, your client base, and so forth, to help, broaden your views. I mean, that's one thing. People want views, but then again, likes don't pay the bills, and you want engagement. You want people to engage with your brand so they become better aware of your
and
brand.
And talk about it.
And talk about
Not
it.
Not just engage and move on, but to continue talking about it. That's the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And I can't stress this enough. Don't be hesitant about the cost of getting help with social media, because think about the opportunity cost lost while you're spending, or I should say wasting, hours and hours spinning your wheels if this is not something that comes naturally to you or that you're not formally trained in. This can cost everything if you don't know what to post, don't know what resonates with your target audience, or maybe you're having a hard time defining your target audience. This means everything. So do not be afraid to reach out and get help. And when you do get help, make sure that whether it's an individual, an agency, someone in-house, that they can truly get into your shoes and convey your brand's vision and target the people who are going to embrace that vision the most. One example, and this is a very niche example, there's a company called Baldwin Publishing, and they produce social media content for health and wellness organizations, hospitals, doctors' offices, insurance providers. And they do everything from blogs to healthy recipes that are mouthwateringly delicious. And it's so easy to plug and play. So they can just revolutionize your social media presence. But they're very, obviously very, very niche. You would not use them if you're a record store or even if you're a restaurant. Because obviously you want people to come out to eat, not to cook those beautiful meals at home. So that's, don't be afraid to get help, because social is the shortest distance between you and your target audience. So you have to make sure that you do it right. Now, speaking of doing it right, there are a few do nots. I want to stress that do not ever, ever do on social media. Quality versus quantity. You need both. Now, there are some people who take the everything approach to social media. And what that means is there's a lot of fluff. Not everything is strategically chosen to go along with that social media platform, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, it doesn't matter. It's you're putting it out there, and if you're putting out nothing but fluff, then you're missing your mark altogether, and you're going to be attracting the wrong people, if any people at all. One form of this is focusing on yourself. And I know this sounds crazy, but there are solopreneurs to full-blown businesses who are constantly focusing on one person. And I've seen examples of this where it's all videos of me, 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 or selfies or things like that. Remember that there's a cocktail party rule. If you walked into a cocktail party and you were only talking about yourself the entire time, how long would it take for those people to make up excuses to drift away and go join other conversations? If you were talking about things that were very useful, fascinating, helpful, inspirational, motivational, you'd have an entire group around you listening. So when it comes to quality, it has to be there. You can't just post for the sake of posting. It's something that has both an art and a science behind it. The other thing is quantity. Some people either don't think that they... Some people know that social media is important, but they just sweep it under the rug because they don't know what to post, or they're quite frankly lazy. They just don't want to take the time to be out there. And you have to be. You have to be in today's business landscape. Some people want to use social media for, let's say, an ad campaign because they know the power of targeting on social media. But they don't want to take the time to fill in their brand's organic content surrounding that, or at least building up a timeline for it. And that's a huge part of credibility. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, over 55% of people are looking to Facebook to learn about new brands and products. So let's say you could post a fabulous ad getting tons of traction. But if they go to your page and the rest of the page is blank and you've posted nothing else, then your credibility just went out the window. Do not expect, you know, you may get a lot of engagement on the ad, but the follow through will not be there. If you are posting, but you're not posting at least once a day, which is actually the benchmark across all industries and verticals, pretty much everyone is posting at least once per day. Some have limited resources and can only post a couple times a week. There is one loophole to that. I do know of a large organization, but small team within that organization, and there are only, say, two posts a week made on average, but they devote a certain amount of the budget to promote one of the most organically successful posts every single week. And with this, they've been able to double their social media presence and become a complete thought leader in the space. So that is a very successful loophole if you use it right. It doesn't mean that you can nix the quality of your organic content at all. It just means that there is a way to make up for posting less frequently than the benchmark. And I'm very happy to say that that's one of my clients that who's using that loophole, and I love them. So I can't help but mention that one loophole if you do want to cut a corner. And the last thing I want to mention is first impressions. There's that 55% again. Most people are looking to social media. You know, that 55% was for Facebook alone. Most people are learning about brands and products on social media for the first time. And that's your first impression with people. I don't want to get cheesy and have to repeat, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression, but it's true. So make sure that even if that's not how you get the majority of your leads, even if that's not such a critical part of your quote unquote funnel, and I'll have to touch on that in a different podcast, but make sure that your social media presence is robust because it's a huge part of your reputation management and your credibility. Tom, anything else you can think of that's, you know?
No, you actually hit all the topics on the head. Again, when you, as a business owner, whether you're a solopreneur or you're part of a marketing team or part of a team that does marketing for a company, always keep those three golden rules applied. If it's something you want to post, can I show this to my grandmother and my child? Number one. Number two, what is my target audience? What do I do for a living? Who am I trying to attract as business? And number three, longevity. Can this come and bite me in the ass? Guess if it's something that's a controversial post, if I have to look at it three times before I even hit the post button to post something, then there's something wrong with that post that's not going to agree with, you know, with my audience. And again, you got to also keep this in mind. Not everyone's going to like your post. Not everyone's not going to like your post. Not everyone's going to share your post. Not everyone's going to comment on your post. But you want to make sure that whatever attention you're gathering is the attention that you want from that post.
It's, yes, you have to remember it's a reflection of you, not necessarily your audience. But one thing that I should mention, I was talking about people who post the fluff, you know, and I've seen, even in on business profiles, you know, posting this is my dinner and, you know, I don't want to discourage people from making it personal when it comes to social media. By all means, personalize your brand. Show the people behind the scenes. Show your employees. Show yourself. If you're a solopreneur, don't be afraid to use Facebook Live. But remember that it is about business. So don't make it a selfie streak. So I really hope that even though it's broad strokes, that it helps a lot of people with that proverbial question of what do I post? And if you have any questions about your particular brand or organization, don't be afraid to shoot me an email or a message on social media. I'll be more than happy to give you some ideas. And thank you very much. And there will be another podcast. What was the...
I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
This is what you get for missing staff meetings.
Well, there's a really good one. So I'm going to keep it a surprise. But that's going to be our... Yes. Ooh.
She forgot already.
No. There's... She did. A spicy one
that she forgot
coming up
that she won't remember
on which social platforms to use for your type of business.
I'm the one that posts everything for her.
Oh, would you stop? Okay. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Tom, as always.
Again, guys, not to interrupt Camille, you know, use the hashtag Ask Camille. She's everywhere from not Snapchat anymore.
No.
Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, just, you know, her email address, LinkedIn, any questions, guys, no matter how big or small, you know, we're here to answer these questions and hit us up. You know, I know now that it's becoming summer soon, you know, Memorial Day weekend's coming up. So for some businesses, it's going to be very busy. For some other businesses, it's going to become very slow. So whether you're a business that's going to become busy or slow, now is a good time to start looking over and reviewing your social media strategy.
Absolutely.
So again, it's maybe a good time for you guys to look over your calendars, what you're going to post, you know, for the 4th of July weekend, for August, for school starting.
Don't ever waste downtime, folks.
Yes.
Don't ever waste downtime. If anything, a lull in your business is the most valuable opportunity that you have to make the busier times even better.
Exactly.
So you'll never have to worry about a lull again. So don't waste that time. Mm-hmm.
So again, use the hashtag Ask Camille or just hit Camille up on social media. Ask any questions. And thank you so much for listening and tune in next week for our next podcast.
Take care, everybody. Thank you.